Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, October the 19th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, tributes to the late Sir David Amess. The House of Commons MPs, with some fond, funny, and heartfelt remembrances of the Conservative MP, Sir David Amess, who was murdered this past Friday. Those tributes coming up next. Welcome back. I hope you are well, dear listener, on this Tuesday. I hope that things are looking up for you wherever you are in the world and whenever you are listening to this, whether it is today, Tuesday, or whether it is on any other day of the week, any other month of the year, any other year on the calendar. I hope that you are feeling well and are in good health and in a good frame of mind, the best that you can be in, given all the circumstances that we find ourselves in this wild, crazy, beautiful world that we inhabit, that we are living in. So, yesterday was a very, very emotional day in the House of Commons as tributes were being paid in the UK Parliament to Sir David Amess, the MP from Southend West. Southend is roughly 50 or 60 miles to the east of London, in the south of England. And David Amess, as you know, was murdered brutally this past Friday. And there is someone in custody now, 25-year-old man, suspected of committing that brutal, heinous act of murder. And he is to be questioned, or expected to be questioned, over the next few days. I believe it's actually maybe a week rather than 2 weeks, I'm not sure. And the Metropolitan Police have called this an act of terror. Now, we will see what develops from that investigation and whether or not, indeed, this is the person who will stand trial. We will see what goes on with that in the coming days and weeks. But on this episode, I really do want to talk about these tributes, and rather, even more than me talk about them, play them so that you can hear them for yourself, dear listener. These were some very affectionate tributes and very moving tributes to Sir David Amess, the MP from Southend West, who served his constituents for a great many years and had been dedicated to them. And he is a rare politician these days who really genuinely does care about people and the people that he represents. There are some politicians who use the people they represent and take them for granted. There are some of those out there too. But Sir David Amess was not one of those. He was a avowed campaigner. He did care about the people he represented, and he made sure to mention them at every turn. What you're going to hear now are a number of tributes from members of Parliament in the United Kingdom House of Commons, who yesterday, on Monday, that is, October the 18th, 2021, paid tribute to Sir David with these lovely heartfelt tributes. Politicians from both sides of the political aisle, Conservative, Labour, in fact, more than both sides, obviously multiple sides of the political aisles, if you will. Scottish National Party, Plaid Cymru from Wales, Liberal Democrats, all pay tribute to the Conservative MP, David Amos. Sir David was, as I said, a tireless campaigner. And what you will hear in these tributes is quite moving, quite funny at times, and quite solemn as well. There is affection, and there may be a tear or two that wells up in you when you hear these tributes. So without any further ado, here are just a few of the tributes in the chamber of the House of Commons, on the House of Commons floor yesterday, to the now late, tragically late, Sir David Amos.
Mr. Speaker, we are gathered here, united in mourning and grief at the loss of a proud champion of Southend, of now to be the city of Southend, a great backbencher, a beloved husband, and a father and dear friend to so many, particularly on the government benches. Sir David Amos was valued in so many ways, but I think the most powerful description he achieved was in some ways was the simplest and the most human. David was above all else a good and a deeply decent man. A man that would always greet you with a welcoming smile whenever you met him. For members and staff across this House, it will take time to come to terms with the terrible shock of the senseless loss of another colleague. Because just as our thoughts and prayers today are with the entire Amos family, we think too of the family of Joe Cox, who are forced to relive the nightmare of their experience all over again. Mr. Speaker, members of this House are being murdered while simply doing their job. That is the terrible reality that we are faced with. And just as we face it together, we need to put an end to it together. In providing that security and safety, we need to protect all those at risk. Because we all know that it's often our staff who are at the very front line of the threats and the abuse as well. So I welcome the review underway into MP security, but I would genuinely urge the Home Secretary to also include our staff as a central part of that security review.
Hear, hear.
The devastating loss of Sir David has once again laid bare that twin threat of terrorism and the toxic culture of hate and intolerance that has become all too common. So today, of all days, it is crucial that we show the same spirit and speak with one voice across this House, as indeed we are doing. I stand firmly with and echo the powerful and poignant words of both the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition. But I also want to commend them for jointly going and standing together in Southend on Saturday. That was exactly the right image and the right message to send. People need to see that image of unity on Saturday, and it is an image and ethos of political leadership that we need to project in public far more often. A healthy democracy that engages with passionate disagreement as appropriate. But we all know that somewhere along the way, we have been badly diverted. For too long, we have been dragged down a path where passionate disagreement has been infected by poison. All of us can do better not to feed into that corrosive culture. All of us have been a victim of it, and every single one of us have a responsibility to put an end to it. It is the truest tribute to Sir David that he personified exactly what we need to get to. He was a person whose politics could be forceful, but always a friendly, a person who could disagree without ever, not ever, being disagreeable. For the rest of this session, I look forward to hearing the fond memories from many of his colleagues and friends. The beautiful statement released by the Amos family last night put it better than I possibly could. David's lesson and his legacy is to show kindness and love to all. All of our memories will be of a good man and of a life well lived. May his family and community today know that the true depth of respect, affection and love that he enjoyed across this house. And may his gentle soul now rest in peace. God bless you, David.
That was the parliamentary leader of the Scottish National Party in Westminster, Ian Blackford. Next, there are two people that you're going to be hearing from who gave their tributes yesterday to Sir David Amos. You're going to hear a very small, short portion of words from the mother of the House of Commons, Harriet Harman of the Labour Party. I have spoken about Harriet Harman in a number of episodes recently of this podcast, and as I have said recently, she is the mother of the House, and that title is given to those who have had a lasting, not only a lasting impact, but have seniority. And by dint of seniority and venerability, they get to have those titles. Harriet Harman was once the deputy leader of the Labour Party. The Labour Party has never had a female leader outright. And you're also going to be hearing from the Conservative Peter Bottomley. He is the father of the House. And you may remember, if you've been listening recently to this podcast, that I had mentioned Sir Kenneth Clark. Ken Clark was the father of the House of Commons before he left politics in, I believe it was 2019. Here now, just a snippet from Harriet Harman and a little bit more, forgive me, from Peter Bottomley.
Differences to work with so many of us on a multitude of issues of common concern. And that's why there are tears on all sides of the House this afternoon. Most recently, just one example, he took the lead on a cause which I then took up, which was the injustice done to young unmarried mothers whose babies were taken from them in the 1960s and 70s. We've all got examples where he's worked with us. My tribute to him will be to redouble my efforts on that and to remember and to work in the spirit that he exemplified. Commitment to constituency, commitment to Parliament, a belief that he could and did make a difference. Sir David Amos, rest in peace.
We now come to the father of the House, Sir Peter Bottomley.
I agree with Harriet and Ian. David Amos, in 2010, made a speech where he said, it's extraordinary listening to the acting leader of the Labour Party, now the mother of the House. He said, she made a splendid speech. One of the jokes was fantastic. He's going to use it in the future. David's Fire Safety All-Party Group worked with the All-Party Leasehold and Commonhold Reform Group. We had a number of meetings over the year. As well as the city, can I put it to the Prime Minister and the Chancellor that they can make his legacy on defective leasehold flats, the finding, the fixing and the funding of the problems while chasing those responsible to pay up? I think he agrees that. If we look around this chamber, we see the shields of those who've died, some in active service in the last World War. Ronald Cartland was the first. Other members went forward knowing the risks. So did Police Constable Keith Palmer. Jo Cox and her family are in our hearts, as we've been told, and we remember Andrew Pennington, the Liberal MP's caseworker, who also died in a constituency attack. A few of us were here when Erin Lee's car was blown up. Robert Bradford and I were together in the Westminster Wobblers, the House of Commons football team. Tony Berry was my whip, and Ian Gow and I canvassed together in Ulster. His death, I believe, was time to make people forget the murder of the Sister of Mercy, Catherine Dunn, a few days earlier in July 1990. In David's first speech in January 1984, he said, charity has been described as that amiable quality that moves us to condone in others the sins and vices which we ourselves are addicted to. He was able to say in his first speech that in the Commons, when he made it, there were five people who had previously represented his own constituency there with him, which I think must be some kind of a parliamentary record. He was followed by the Right Honourable Member for Newcastle-upon-Tyne East, who cheerfully said, at the risk of dissent from those behind him on the Labour benches, I congratulate the Honourable Member for Basel and Mr Amos on his maiden speech. I do not agree with what he said, but it was no worse than the speech of the Minister. Which was a line that Douglas Jay used when he congratulated me in 1975. So it obviously must be in the sort of Labour Whip's booklet. He went on to wish the Honourable Member well in what time he had in Parliament. That time, I think, is well described by Trevor Phillips in The Times today, and his leading words were, the simplicity of a man who served, he knew his constituents well and showed them what the Tory party could be. Can we, Mr Speaker, thank you and the party leaders for what you've said over the last 3 days? And if I may say so, also add John Bercow, who in an interview I heard represented the feeling of those who have served with David in this House. Many of these attacks are done for calculated publicity and public reaction, which try to make both act against the wishes of perpetrators. The only guarantee is that when there is a gap, it will be filled. MPs are in the middle of the pack of people at some risk. Ministers of religion, mental health workers, public transport staff, learned shopkeepers, women police officers, journalists, Fair Employment Builders in Northern Ireland and the judiciary, and especially women and girls going home and at home. We should defend people in every walk of life, in politics and in universities, and here I mentioned mildly the philosopher Professor Kathleen Stock in my county of Sussex. St Margaret's Church, Parliament Square, where I serve as parliamentary warden, is where we'll gather later today and for the Roman Catholic service on Wednesday. We've learnt to stand with the Irish and Northern Irish against violence. We stand with Muslims against Islamophobia, with Jews against anti-Semitism, and with all the targets of fascists and white supremacists. We do have to be vigilant, but we also have to continue to be diligent in contact with constituents. Of course, review obvious security risks, and I would argue the insecure location of the National Holocaust Memorial presently proposed at Victoria Tower Gardens. At the opening of the Imperial War Museum Holocaust Galleries last week, I collected posters. David might wish us to remember their words as if directed to us and to our constituents. Freedom is at peril. Defend it with all your might. Another which brings his face to my mind. Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. And I end with the words from the Prime Minister's first speech to the House of Commons on the 13th of May 1940. Let us go forward together.
That was Harriet Harman you heard there briefly. And the reason, by the way, let me just explain, the reason why you heard a snippet of Harriet Harman is because I actually, at the time I had been recording this, actually hadn't realized that the record button wasn't on. So as a result, I only got the last few moments of Harriet Harman. So I apologize for that, dear listener. Harriet Harman has... I mean, she's someone who really has fought assiduously and committedly for women and women's rights, and has really been one of the great leaders that Labour has had in terms of in her own right. She's never been Labour leader. There's never been a female leader of the Labour Party, which I think is abominable. That has to be put right now, seriously. We are way past time to have a woman leading the Labour Party. I mean, there's many very good candidates and they should be put forth. I mean, I know Sir Keir Starmer's leading the party now, but I really think that we need to have a woman leading the Labour Party. It's the only party, by the way, in the whole of England, and I think in the whole of the UK, that has never had a female leader at the head of it. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing that I really could spend a good little while talking about. I mean, the Conservatives have had female leaders, the Liberal Democrats have had female leaders. I can go on and on and on with all the parties. in the UK. But anyway, that was Harriet Harman. And then after that, you heard Peter Bottomley, who's the father of the house, Harriet Harman, the mother of the House of Commons, in their tributes to Sir David Amess. I'm going to take a quick break now, and when I return on the Politocrat Daily Podcast, you're going to be hearing from a former Prime Minister.
That spring to my mind when I think of David Amess. Laughter, because you could never have a conversation with David without laughter and smiling. Whether it was because of one of the outrageous stories that he was telling, perhaps about one of his colleagues or somebody else. But there was always smiles, always laughter, always fun around David. Service, because he had an extraordinary record of dedicated service to his constituents. And I suggest to anybody who wants to be a first-class constituency MP that you look at the example of David Amess. Yeah. He was deeply embedded in his constituency and, as we all know, championed it on every possible occasion. I don't think a question or speech from David went by in this House without his constituency being mentioned in it. But he didn't just promote his constituency here in the House. He was a part of it. He understood it. He knew it. He was in the community. He was of the community. And he was respected and loved by the community. His death is tragic, and the manner of his death appalling. But isn't it fitting that his last acts were acts of service to his constituents? And then there was David's compassion, born out of and strengthened by his faith. Compassion for the vulnerable, compassion for those in need. But he didn't just talk about it, he acted. He changed laws. He went out there and made a difference to people's lives. Because he was also an accomplished parliamentarian, and he knew that a backbencher who is dedicated and resolute can make a real difference. And to echo some of the comments that have been made today, first of all, I think it's a wonderful legacy for David that Southend is now a city. But we can also add to the legacy of David Amess by ensuring that in all our political debates, in our political discourse, we bring to those debates and that discourse the same respect, decency and compassion that were the symbols of his life. Because David Amess made a difference. His compassion made a difference to people outside of this house. His kindness made a difference to people inside this house. Our thoughts and prayers are with Julia and the family. Their loss is devastating. His constituency has lost a much respected and loved Member of Parliament. This House has lost a remarkable and valued parliamentarian. And every member of this House has lost a friend. May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Welcome back, dear listener. That was the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Theresa May. What a lovely, heartfelt tribute that was from the former Prime Minister. She is the MP for Maidenhead. And as I say, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Theresa May, that was really lovely and affectionate tribute and very heartfelt and capturing the real measure of a man in Sir David Amess. One thing I can say, and I've said this before, dear listener, so excuse me for the repetition here. I've said this in previous episodes, that I can get with and have a conversation and real dialogue with somebody who is a decent person, even if their views are anything but. I mean, I can, and someone who is not disagreeable, obviously I think most of us can have a conversation with people who are not disagreeable people. But that carries much more mileage to me. Having a conversation with someone who really is decent to people, and who may have opposing or different views than I, but we can sit down and have a conversation and talk about things, than someone in the same party that I vote with who doesn't do anything for the people, doesn't care about the people, doesn't show any inclination to do anything for the people. And one of the things, again, that I've repeated this prior, that repeatedly, that strikes me, I should say, about Sir David Amos, is that he really did care about people. And I'll always be aligned with people who care about people, who genuinely care. Not say it, but who do it, who show it, who are it. And Sir David Amos was one of those people. Regardless of the party he belongs to, at the end, it's all about people, and it's about what you do to serve the people, what you do to help them. And Sir David Amos was one of those rare politicians on this planet who actually put the people first. Not his own political agenda, not the rich donors, not the people. The people. That's where public service is supposed to be. And that's why I feel a certain way about Sir David Amos. Because politicians like he are a dying breed. Excuse the phraseology, and no pun intended at all. I'm serious. You don't get very many politicians on this planet like this. Of course there are a few that I can think of off the top of my head. But there are not many, who really do believe in the people and putting them first. And again, I did an episode several days back about, have you voted for someone in the last 20 years who was elected, who you felt actually really cared about you and cared about the people? I did that episode maybe a week or so ago now. And literally the day after that episode, I think was the day, if I remember correctly, that Sir David Amos was murdered. That's one of the things that strikes me. Sir David Amos really cared about people. And we've had a rough patch of it these last couple of days. Yesterday, Colin Powell passing away due to complications from COVID-19. And this past Friday, Sir David Amos murdered while serving the people. I mean, this has been a rough last few days, and especially for the families of both former four-star general Colin Powell and Sir David Amos, and of course, many other people on this planet who you and I will never get to know, who have suffered some loss over the last few days or weeks, and perhaps yourself, you may have suffered losses, and my condolences to you and to anyone else who may be going through some very difficult things or have suffered a loss in their family or someone that they really care about. These things are going to happen to us all at some point in our lives. And, we go through these very difficult moments. And I do feel for the families of Colin Powell and Sir David Amos and families of any other who suffered these kinds of losses. It's really sad, and especially when you get to know who these people were. And I do think, if I may divert for a moment, I do think that Colin Powell was a decent human being. Again, I talked about Colin Powell yesterday on the episode I did, and I think he did more good than harm in the end. If you look at the measure of the man, the balance of his life, I think he did more good than harm. In fact, I think he did much more good than harm. I didn't think I was emphatic enough about that yesterday, but he indeed did do more good than harm. Yes, of course, he's going to be judged, and rightly so, on what happened with the United Nations in 2003 in Iraq. Of course, I would love to see Dick Cheney judged that way when his day comes. I would like to see George W. Bush also judged that way. And no doubt he has been, but there's this attempt to rehabilitate George W. Bush somehow. And some people are actually going along with that. Oh, he's so cute. Isn't he passing out candy to the former First Lady, Michelle Obama? Oh, isn't that cutesy cute? Yeah, you know, that's how the American public gets swindled all the time. You know, short memory. Now let's recast him as the nice guy. You know, that's what we do here. And it works to a T every time, which is why it continues to be done. Pardon my diversion. I want to get back to these tributes and put respect back on the ladder here. Because now I want to turn to the Speaker of the House of Commons, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who will now be heard paying tribute to the late Conservative MP, Sir David Amos.
In nearly four decades in this House, Sir David was second to none in his determined commitment to his constituents. Firstly, as the member for Basildon between 1983 and 97, and since then as the member for Southend West. He was a tireless in making sure the voice of Southend West was heard in this chamber. It's difficult to believe that we will not hear him make the case for Southend achieving city status. Before the next recess, definitely. He worked equally hard outside of the chamber for his constituents, always going the extra mile to make sure their case was heard and their needs were met. He used his skills as a parliamentarian to pilot numerous pieces of legislation onto the statute books, reflecting his political priorities such as fuel poverty and, of course, animal welfare. He was much more admired as a member of the panel of chairs, respected across this House for his fairness and expertise. I would also like to thank the speakers from around the world who sent messages of support, including Speaker Pelosi and Speaker Smith of Australia, along with many, many more who wanted to let us know that Congress and the Australian Parliament are thinking of us, David's family, and all at this time. Yeah. On a personal level, David was a lovely man. He was well-liked by members and staff alike, and during his almost four decades here, built a reputation for kindness, generosity, sustained by his faith. David was a devoted to his family, as much as we will miss a much-loved fellow parliamentarian. The loss felt by David's wife, Julia, and their children is unimaginable. I know the whole House will want to join me in sending them our deepest condolences. Yeah. I now call the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I beg to move that this House do now adjourn. The passing of 72 hours has done little to numb the shock and sadness we all felt when we heard of the tragic and senseless death of Sir David Amos. This House has lost a steadfast servant. We've lost a dear friend and colleague, and Julia and her children have lost a loving husband and devoted father. Nothing I or anyone else can say will lessen the pain, the grief, the anger they must feel at this darkest of times. We hold them in our hearts today. We mourn with them and we grieve alongside them. Sir David was taken from us in a contemptible act of violence, striking at the core of what it is to be a member of this House, and violating the sanctity both of the church in which he was killed and the constituency surgery that is so essential to to our representative democracy. But we will not allow the manner of Sir David's death in any way to detract from his accomplishments as a politician or as a human being. Because Sir David was a patriot who believed passionately in this country, in its people, in its future. He was also one of the nicest, kindest, and most gentle individuals ever to grace these benches. A man who used his decades of experience to offer friendship and support to new members of all parties, whose views often confounded expectation and defied easy stereotype, and who believed not just in pointing out what was wrong with society, but in getting on and doing something about it. It was that determination to make this country a better place that inspired his outstanding record on behalf of the vulnerable and the voiceless. The master of the Private Member's Bill and 10-minute rule bill, he passed legislation on subjects as diverse as animal welfare, fuel poverty, and the registration of driving instructors. He was a prodigious campaigner for children with learning disabilities and for women with endometriosis, a condition on which he became an expert after meeting a woman at one of his constituency surgeries. Behind the famous and irresistible beam lay a seasoned campaigner of verve and grit. Whether he was demanding freedom for the people of Iran or courting votes in the Westminster Dog of the Year contest, whether he was battling for Brexit or fighting his way to the front of the parliamentary pancake race. And as every member of this House will know, as you have just confirmed, Mr. Speaker, he never once witnessed any achievement by any resident of Southend that could not somehow be cited in his bid to secure city status for that distinguished time. Highlights of that bulging folder included a world record for playing the most triangles at once, a group of stilt walkers travelling non-stop from the Essex coast to Downing Street, and a visiting foreign dignitary allegedly flouting protocol by saying he liked Southend more than Cleethorpes. Mr. Speaker. A compelling case, Mr. Speaker. And as it is only a short time since Sir David last put that very case to me in this chamber, I am happy to announce that Her Majesty has agreed that Southend will be accorded the city status it so clearly deserves. That Sir David spent almost 40 years in this House, but not one day in ministerial office, tells everything about where his priorities lay. He was not a man in awe of this chamber, nor a man who sought patronage or advancement. He simply wanted to serve the people of Essex, first in Basildon, then in Southend. And it was in the act of serving his constituents that he was so cruelly killed. In his recent memoir, Sir David called surgeries a part of the great British tradition of the people openly meeting their elected politicians. Even after the murder of Joe Cox and the savage attacks on Stephen Timms and Nigel Jones, he refused to accept that he should be in any way deterred from speaking face to face with his constituents. And so when he died, he was doing what he firmly believed was the most important part of any MP's job, offering help to those in need. In the awful moments before we knew the full horror of the tragedy, a member of Sir David's Constituency Association, her voice breaking with emotion, told an interviewer that we need him, the country needs him, and we do. This country needs people like Sir David. This House needs people like Sir David, and our politics needs people like Sir David. Dedicated, passionate, firm in his beliefs, but never anything less than respectful for those who thought differently. Those are the values he brought to a lifetime of public service. There can be few among us more justified than him in his deep faith in the resurrection and the life to come. And while his death leaves a vacuum that will not and can never be filled, we will cherish his memory, we will celebrate his legacy, and we will never allow those who commit acts of evil to triumph over the democracy and the parliament that Sir David Amess loved so much.
That was the Prime Minister Boris Johnson there in what I thought was a really good speech and tribute to Sir David Amess. I thought he was quite good. And for Boris Johnson, well, you know, I'll leave, you know, what my sentiments are about Boris Johnson. In this moment, he was respectful. And in this moment, I think he paid a very good tribute to one of his own Conservative colleagues, Sir David Amess. Now you're going to be hearing from Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, in what I also think is a very good tribute to Sir David Amess.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the last few days, there have been many tributes to Sir David from politicians of all parties, from his constituents and members of the public, from friends and from family, and from faith leaders, especially the Catholic Church, of which he was such a devoted follower. Each tribute paints its own picture of a committed public servant, of kindness, and of a man whose decency touched everybody that he met. Taken together, these tributes are a powerful testimony to the respect, the affection, and yes, the love that David was held in across politics and across different communities. Together, they speak volumes about the man that he was and the loss that we grieve. Sir David was a dedicated parliamentarian, and his loss is felt profoundly across this House. We are united in our grief at this terrible time. We are thinking of David and his family. We are thinking, once again, of our dear friend Joe Cox, who was killed just 5 short years ago. And I know that honourable members and their staff will have spent the weekend worrying about their own safety. The emotion is the same across the House. But I remember just how acutely Joe's loss was felt on these benches. So today, on behalf of the entire Labour Party, I want to lean across, to reach across, and to acknowledge the pain that's felt on the opposite benches, and I do. Yes. Of course our differences matter. After all, that's what democracy is about. But today we're reminded that what we have in common matters far more. I spoke to Joe Cox's parents on Friday afternoon because I knew that they would be reliving that terrible day. They said to me they were thinking of David's family and how their lives would be changed forever. So today, just as the Prime Minister has said, this House holds in our hearts David's wife, Julia, his children, Catherine, David Jr., Sarah, Florence, and Alex, and all of those who loved him. We cannot begin to imagine what they're going through, but our thoughts, our love, and our prayers are with them. I also thank those who did everything they could to save David's life and our emergency services, who run towards danger to protect us. And I just want to take a moment to think about, for all of us to think about, David's staff and what they must be going through. This Parliament that David loved so much has lost one of its finest advocates. His colleagues have lost a dear friend, and the people of Southend have lost one of their own. Sir David was a dedicated constituency MP. When I visited Southend on Saturday, I was struck by the affection and the regard that he was held in by everybody I met. He rejected ministerial office to focus on Southend, and we remember his historic battle to see it given city status. And I'm so pleased at the announcement the Prime Minister has just made. It is a fitting tribute to Sir David's hard work. It really is. Fitting because David delivered on the causes he championed. He cared about them. He passed a bill that forced action on fuel poverty. He paved the way for better standards of fire safety and delivered protections for animal welfare. And no tribute has emerged in recent days that resonates more vividly than that of his former parliamentary staffer, Edward Holmes. As he was in his first job out of university, Holmes forgot to tell Sir David about an urgent call that the then Prime Minister, David Cameron, had made. He said he felt terrified until he finally plucked up the courage to tell David, whose response was typical. "Don't worry about that, Edward." So relaxed was David that Mr. Holmes says he suspects he never actually called the Prime Minister back. That tells of a politician who had his priorities right. One who put his people before his party and his patch before his personal advancement. Even as a political opponent, he was a man and a politician we can all learn so much from. I use that phrase, political opponent, very deliberately, because David held his beliefs passionately, but gently. And I believe that not only can we learn from that, but we have a duty to learn from that. Civility matters, and it matters in politics. We must not lose sight of the fact that David's killing was an act of terror in our country. We can't help today but think of Joe Cox, Andrew Pennington, and PC Keith Palmer, who lost his life defending all of us in this place in 2017. And we thank God that the Honourable Member for East Ham is with us in the chamber today. And that the Honourable Member for West Lancashire's would-be attackers were stopped in their tracks. And I know that politicians across the country, across this house, have their own experiences of threats to their security. Today is a chance to remember David. But in the weeks and days to come, we must confront the threats and violence that everyone faces in acting this country's democracy. It's too early for us to comment on the exact motivations and circumstances of David's killing. But I do want to finish by saying this. A cowardly attack on a public servant doing his job is an attack on our country and on our way of life. A way of life that prizes tolerance, democracy, and respect, that accepts our differences but cherishes our commonalities, that refuses to succumb to the poison of extremism. No matter what perverted cause, faith or ideology these attackers support, their intention is always the same: to sow division amongst us. And that's why our response must always be to show that we will never be cowed, that our bonds to one another can never be eroded, that the hatred that took Sir David's life will never win. Our democracy is precious. It's held firm against many tests, but it's also a fragile, living thing. Let us use the memory of Sir David's life and his passions to nourish it, to recommit ourselves in standing for the things that he stood for. the things that extremists will never comprehend. For decency in our disagreements, for kindness in our hearts, for our great democracy, and for the hope that through it we can make our country and our world a better place. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That was a rather moving and heartfelt speech and tribute by Sir Keir Starmer to the late Sir David Ames. I want to take a break now, and the final person you will be hearing from is the person I think you should be hearing from last in this particular episode. And you will know exactly why right after this. Welcome back. Last but not least, by a long shot, not least, dear listener, is Kim Leadbeater. She is the MP for Batley and Spen in West Yorkshire in England. She became the MP for that particular constituency back in July of this year, 2021. Her sister, Jo Cox, was brutally murdered almost 5.5 years ago while serving constituents at her surgery in the district of Batley and Spen. Jo Cox was an MP for that area and was doing the people's work for the Labour Party. She cared about the people she served, as Sir David Amos did, and a right-wing extremist murdered her just about a week before, or just a few days before, the Brexit referendum in the summer of 2016, June of that particular year. So it was particularly moving to hear from Kim Leadbeater as she paid tribute to Sir David Amos yesterday in the House of Commons, and also talked about her late sister, whose seat she now occupies in the House of Commons.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I've spent a lot of time over the weekend thinking about what to say if I got called today, or indeed whether to say anything at all, because I didn't know David personally. It's been a traumatic few days for many people, none more so than David's family and friends, and it's they who remain at the forefront of my mind this afternoon. But sadly, I know from my own all too similar experience that in reality, there is nothing anyone can say to make things all right for them. But nor is it any use to stay silent. So I welcome this opportunity to pay tribute to someone who was clearly a well-respected and much-loved colleague to many people in this place. For reasons that I would never wish on any other member of this House, or indeed anyone, I do have a unique perspective on what those closest to David are going through, and I want to send them my love, support and solidarity from myself, my parents, our family and the people of Batley and Spen. I've blocked out much of what happened when Jo was murdered. But I remember very clearly the moment I took the phone call saying she had been attacked. I remember physically trembling and the visceral pain that overtook me. And it breaks my heart to think that another family has had to experience that phone call and the nightmare which follows. It's a roller coaster of deep trauma that no one should have to experience. I also know that David's family will still be in utter shock, as I know many of you are. But I hope at some point they are able to hear at least some of the beautiful and very funny tributes that are being paid to him today, and that will provide a morsel of comfort amidst their pain. I can't talk about David on a personal level. As I say, I didn't know him. But from what I've heard, he strikes me as the sort of MP who I may well have come across in the coming months and ended up going for a cuppa with him to hear his thoughts on the work he was doing on the Children's Parliament or animal welfare or getting more support for people with learning disabilities. We would have been two backbench MPs from different parties and different parts of the country discussing issues close to our hearts. And I imagine it would have been a lot of fun. But sadly, that day will never come. I know that wider discussions will now take place about the safety of MPs, the awful abuse and intimidation we face, the nature of political discourse, and how we can deal with the evils of terrorism. And it's quite right that they do. But today is about David and his family, along with his staff, colleagues, and the community he served so well. The service he gave and the support we should show all of them in the coming days, weeks and months. It is up to us to make sure that we do, because I know more than most that they will need it and the powerful difference it will make to them.
That was a very heartfelt message from Kim Leadbeater, who I really do respect and admire. She's someone who's gone through a heck of a lot. And she decided to pick up the mantle from her late sister and represent Batley and Spen. And she is doing so with decency, respect, and a lot of hard work, as well as passion and commitment on behalf of the people, her constituents, whom she serves. It's an especially sad day for Kim Leadbeater and the family of Joe Cox as well, when you consider it, because it just brings all of that pain back once again. That pain never goes away. At least I don't believe it does. Never entirely. And how could it? Why would it? At the end of the day, we are all human beings. We are but mere mortals. And what we do on this earth will leave a legacy for good or for not so good or for evil. What we do, our deeds, the way we treat each other, the kinds of persons we are, the kinds of things we do, and whose lives and how many lives we touch, whether it's one or many millions, at the end of the day, are all part of who we are and what we do and what we stand for. How do you define a person? Do you define them by one deed, or do you define them by everything they've done and look at their life in total? One thing is for sure, that while I disagreed with Sir David Amos and did not hold quite a few of the views he held, I can tell you that I think, without knowing him personally, but from assessing and listening to everyone who did, is that he was a tremendously decent, kind, caring human being. And at the end of the day, that is pretty much one of the things, if not all of the things, that you can hope for and wish for in yourself and in any other human being. Once again, my deepest, most heartfelt condolences to the family of Sir David Amos. Rest in power, David. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.